morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org. You can hear the show at that site anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's wonderful dot foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Robert Knott, speaking of the arts, and we're also going to have a little visit from Felines and Friends. Right now, I'd like to welcome Rocky Lewicki. He is part of a show that is opening actually tonight, and it's called Unrepresented. It's the first in a two-part show of artists who are unrepresented by galleries, and it's at the William Shearburn Gallery. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Marichelle. It's great to be here in New Mexico again.
Yeah, now you were in New Mexico. We've had you on the air a couple of times, and you keep coming back to visit and show your work in different ways, always doing interesting and creative projects. Yours, it's a group show, and the piece that you have in this show is called A Prayer for Al-Qaeda. Is it the second piece in a series by that name?
It is the second piece that I've shown. I've been kind of working through the series over about 3 years. It's kind of manifesting into different forms, but I felt like this one, I finally resolved it, all the components to it, and I felt good enough to show it. So this one is up at the William Shearburn Gallery. It opens tonight. It'll be up for 2 weeks.
It's a piece that is based on a prayer rug. It's the size of a prayer rug, but it's made of pure white paper with a gazillion little tiny holes hand-drilled through it.
A gazillion. It is. Yeah, there's about 100,000, a little over 100,000 hand-drilled holes. It's an Afghanistan prayer rug that I've kind of scanned into Photoshop and manipulated. I collaged a few different rugs together, the larger one being Afghanistan prayer rug, and then a war rug that's sort of collaged in.
A war rug being an actual image of a gun, and that's a genre of rugs.
Exactly. There's an AK-47 and a helicopter that looks like it has been shot down, and which is sort of superimposed inside the mosque area of the prayer rug. It's on white paper, and basically I set up a piece of wall board, and then I put my white thick velvet paper on it, and then my template that I print out. And I drill through my template through the paper that I'll end up using and then into wallboard, so it kind of pushes into the wallboard rather than cuts it. And it makes a nice sort of braille-like texture. It, to me, it speaks of communication.
When you display it, you put a light behind it so that the light shines through it like 100,000 little sort of stars or something.
Sure, yeah, that's the goal, is to have some reflective light off the back so you can really push through the piece. I'm really interested in the balance between mass and space, and taking away mass and replacing it with light. And light is my medium here. There also is a small little blood circle that is above the mosque. And I was working with a nurse in Santa Fe when I was here a couple of years ago. And ever since, I've been lugging around the blood in my freezer.
A vial of your own blood in your artwork?
It's about 30 vials I collected, and it's been in my freezer ever since. So, it's not something you want to show someone on the first date. Come see my freezer.
why a prayer for Al-Qaeda?
Well, we're in a troubled political climate right now, social climate, and a lot of my artwork is based around social activism. Basically, I'm working with this idea of the mosque and the iconography of the Afghanistan prayer rug. It's tough. We're sort of with the ambiguity of the title, Prayer for Al-Qaeda. I am American. This is coming out of an American show, sort of. I just wanted to sort of blur the boundaries of what we're doing as a government, and what's right and what's wrong. And I think it's a tough situation with Al-Qaeda and what they're doing, but at the same time they have intentions and reasons that are not all that bad. I think the actions are horrible, what they're doing, but as a government we're not always that clean as well. So I'm trying to sort of blur the boundaries of the United States intentions versus, maybe the terrorist intentions, and who's right, who's wrong.
Meanwhile, the process of doing it is something like a prayer itself. I was over there yesterday at the gallery as you were hanging the piece, looking at this object with, well, I call it a gajillion, but you call it 100,000
right, sure.
little holes in it. But each one is drilled with an exact size, an exact direction. And it reminded me of one of those Tibetan Buddhist sand mandalas where sure. It's made of a thousand, well, even more, little tiny pieces. And together they make a whole. And you really can't make any mistakes. You have to be incredibly focused as you do each thing.
Sure, you have to be on. And there's no really alternative to it. You know, you have to hit your dot. And, you know, with over 100,000 holes, it's very easy for your mind to start to wander. But as soon as, you know, I start missing that exact center, I kind of refocus and I'm there. You know, I think it's a great exercise of being present. Once you start thinking about the next dot, drilling the next dot, then you're never there, you know. And as soon as you become aware of the dot that you're drilling, then you are fully present and you're there. And time seems to go a little bit quicker when you're thinking about that one dot rather than, you know, the next and the next and the next and where am I going to be in an hour. So in that regard, it's a really nice sort of exercise, which has actually helped me a lot with my trip here to New Mexico, being kind of functified with my airline being delayed, and ever since, you know, my expectations have been thrown out the door. But that's the great thing about New Mexico, is it really challenges you to be fully present and fully aware. So with that, yeah, I've had a lot of struggles with this piece. You know, I had some custom brackets made for the piece, and they didn't totally work out. This piece was originally hanging between two pieces of plexiglass, so I can filter a little bit more light through it. But the plexiglass has been giving me problems. It shifted in the shifting, so my, you know, alignment was a little bit off, and it's still not fully resolved. But by the time the show opens tonight, it's going to be resolved.
It will be.
And that's the great thing, you know, as an artist, you're always, you know, making changes. And if you don't make changes with the art, then the art's going to die. It doesn't have a chance to breathe. And normally, you know, when you get to the gallery, it's normally done. You don't have a chance to keep moving. And now it's great that it's at the gallery. I still have to make these decisions and let it breathe and let it turn into something else.
There's a whole bunch of artists, I guess 9 artists in each of the 2 shows. The first one is opening at the William Shearburn Gallery tonight. That's actually at 129 West San Francisco Street, up on the 2nd floor in Santa Fe, right near the Lenzic. And it's from 5 to 7:30, and you and 8 other artists. And then 2 weeks from today, September 25th, same thing over again with 9 more artists. And it's an interesting show. Everybody's got one, or sometimes people have a few pieces in it, and that's curated by artist and curator David Solomon.
Yeah, David's been great, great friend, and also great for my career. He launched Bang, which is sort of an underground art showing of artists that, you know, are outside the box a little bit, more unknown and maybe a little bit more edgy. And he's just doing a wonderful job in Santa Fe of keeping sort of the art alive. And so now he's at the Shearburn Gallery. He's directing the gallery and also putting this independently curated show together. He's doing a great job.
You're doing another piece, which is also a continuation of a series that you've done, in which you're also a potter, a very, very good potter, and you're making these urns for something called the East Side Penitentiary in Philadelphia.
Yeah, the ESP project, East Side Penitentiary Project, that'll open on April 3rd of 2010. And I'll be giving away 980 urns. They're going to be porcelain urns. They'll have 24 karat gold on the very bottom. I'll be giving away in the penitentiary, which is closed down. It was open for about 140 years.
What a strange space that must be.
Yeah.
And they give tours there now.
They give tours there. They have virtual tours online, and the space is just very beautiful. It's got a lot of character to it, sort of wabi-sabi, broken down things that are changing, you know, cement that's decayed. And I think it's just going to be a beautiful space. So the urns are
beautiful, but, I mean, it can't but be depressing, no, to
exactly.
Imagine the people who've been in there?
Yeah, you know, this penitentiary has obviously a huge history of, you know, prisoners who are takers of possessions, takers of lives. And so one of my goals with this is to try to reverse the history and the energy of the penitentiary. And that's going to happen sort of immediately.
So by giving
away 980 of these urns to the public, Hopefully, you know, obviously, immediately I'm going to reverse the history and the energy, but we'll see. Maybe even long term I can switch it. I'm doing what I think I can do, and you know, immediately. But who knows what's going to stick around, in this sort of other sort of world.
You're an artist. You are working. You're teaching, and I know that you don't have any extra money to throw around, and yet you're making 980 urns with a gold leaf on the bottom, which nobody will actually see unless they actually pick up the urn. Why are you giving them away? I mean, where in you is that coming from?
Well,
it's not the first time you've done this.
I did a piece in Columbia, South Carolina at the museum there where I gave away 444 vessels. I was challenging what free is, what a commodity is, what gift giving is. We always have this idea of sort of an expected monetary return when we give a gift or some sort of return. And so I want to shift that idea of thinking that we can just give something away to be generous. It's just the direction of my art right now, the direction of who I am, and I just want to do it, you know. And, you know, I am struggling financially, but it's no reason to not do what you believe in just because, you know, monetarily it's not all there. But, you know, clay is pretty cheap, luckily, and once I get my my pieces rolling, they're going to be coming out pretty quickly. And then I'll just, you know, I've got the funding to get them out there. I just have to make the work, and we'll go from there. But it's exciting to be on edge in that way, not totally know what's going to happen. You know, that, like I said earlier, the work can breathe that way. It can really move and change, and that's exciting.
The last time that you did a project giving away beautiful clay pots, vases, right?
Vessels, yeah.
Vessels. You were on the street with these beautiful glazed clay vessels, fired, the whole thing, and you were giving them away, and people regarded you with suspicion at first.
Completely. Yeah, I was trying to raise money to go to Maine, and so I went to Charleston. I was in Columbia, South Carolina at the time. I took, you know, about 40 pieces. This is how this whole idea got started. I was just going to sell them for, you know, reasonable price, $20-$30, just kind of move a bunch and then go to Maine. Nothing was selling, so I kept dropping the prices, and then finally I put a big pink sign up on the little floppy board. It said free, absolutely free, pick one out. And nobody would take one. Everybody's walking by, so finally I just started reading a book, and one person came up and was challenging me. He says, well, you're not giving this away. What do you want from me? You want something. I said, just pick a piece out. You know, so he picked a piece out. I started telling him about how it was made, salt firing, da-da-da-da-da. And as soon as he started taking the piece, I started wrapping it for him. And then there was just a slew of people that were there. It was just a madhouse. But no one really believed that this was free. Everybody thinks that there's some gimmick behind it. And so it was great. It was just charging. And it kind of, you know, spurred. It was the impetus for this whole sort of series of giving pieces away. Yeah, it was great.
So you are now living in California and teaching there, but coming back, what keeps you coming back to Santa Fe?
It's the air. It's the magic. It's everything. It's really spectacular. I left here. I had family in Santa Cruz area, Northern California, and the doors opened really quickly and easily, and I felt like it was a good move. Things are still happening. I'm starting to get some roots there now. But Santa Fe is just such a wonderful, magical, spiritual place. It really is incredible. I hope to come back here more often.
Rocky Lewicki is an artist, and he is in the exhibition Unrepresented, or Un, which is happening at the William Shearburn Gallery tonight at 7 o'clock. There is gallery talk by art historian Catherine Davis. She's going to lead a discussion on Thursday, the 1st of October. You can find out more about Rocky Lewicki's work at rocksart.com, R-O-C-K-S-A-R-T, art.com.
I just want to add, yeah, rocksart.com, R-O-C-K-S-A-R-T.com. If you click on the Eastside Penitentiary Project, I've got a few pieces for sale, a few vase families. I think they're between 13 and 19 piece vase families, and those are for sale. They're going to, proceeds will go directly to the project. They're beautiful pieces.
And they come as a group?
They come as family, yeah. They're really spectacular. They've got a lot of rhythm movement to them. They all have a 22 karat gold leaf on the bottom as well.
And once again, 129 West San Francisco Street, second floor. For more information, 989-8020. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Santa Fe.
We're going to take a break right now. Felines and Friends is on deck. Please stay tuned.